Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 6:05 British summertime. Well, this was primarily a day for Europe in the news headlines, really. You had the Bank of England and the ECB raising interest rates, both by a quarter of a point. Now, while the ECB was largely expected, the Bank of England, there had been rumours flying around for the last sort of 36 hours that there was going to be a rate rise in England or in the UK. And I don't think that people had taken very much notice of it until Mervyn King announced that there was going to be this rate hike. So that had a bit of a couple of effects on the market, particularly UK markets. The FTSE is down 93.70, so that's 1.58%, which is really rather a large decline. On the news of the Bank of England and the ECB lowering rates, pretty much all of the European markets sold off quite a lot, but most of them recouped at least some of those losses, with the DAX closing down 0.72 of 1%. That was well off the lows. But that didn't really happen for the FTSE. It rallied up a little bit, and then went down and made a new low. So a bit of weakness there. Of course, the key thing with the FTSE in particular is going to be whether it maintains a progression of rising lows and finds support above those July lows. That would really tell us that this medium-term correction is on its last legs. If it were to go down and break that low, it means that we would see some further ranging below the highs, and possibly a retest of the actual lows, which were in June. Sorry, in Yes, sorry, in June. So it's really important now to see where it actually finds some support here. And I think that's pretty true of pretty much all of the European markets. Now, the US markets had opened down, they opened weak, but they're up a bit in here today. The Dow Jones up 44, the S&P up just over 1 point, and Nasdaq Composite up 7, that's 0.35%. So there's it's not really a panicky environment by any means, and as I said, the ECB move was largely expected. Now, because we have the ECB move this month, and prior to this they'd been raising rates every quarter, and now they've speeded it up a little bit, and it's every 2 months, and that means that inflation is definitely coming to the fore, and it's definitely entered the public consciousness. Now, the ECB has really only one mandate, and that is to control inflation. With the amount of money they're printing, they don't seem to be taking that on board very much. I think the money printing is very much more about trying to stimulate the economy, but it's really more about keeping the euro from appreciating too much against all these other currencies, because every central bank is doing the same game. But the problem with the ECB is that, and the reason that the ECB can only really target inflation, or have a mandate to target inflation, is because there are 13 other central banks, or sorry, the treasuries in the Eurozone, and they all control fiscal policy whichever way they like, and the ECB relies on them to toe the line fiscally from the monetary lead that the ECB gives. And the vast majority of the time, I don't think any of them pay a blind bit of difference to what's happening on a global, or sorry, on a European-wide scale, which means that it's very clunky. But it means that really, when you listen to the ECB, the only mandate they have is to control inflation, because the responsibility for everything else really does lie with the individual member governments. So that means that the ECB will continue to raise rates until they can declare a victory over inflation. And we don't know when that's going to be. What we do know is that after the tech bubble burst, they were quite slow in lowering rates, and they had a bit of a lag on the US, which means that they were late in the cycle movers. And I think Roger Nightingale made that point in his report yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see what they do the next time when European growth is not so strong, or Germany starts to weaken again, whether the ECB will cut aggressively. I think that it is quite likely the US will cut aggressively if needs be, but it remains to be seen whether the ECB is willing to do that. Now, moving on to some other markets. Thailand had a good day in here today, and it has made that that higher high, so a succession of rising lows and now a higher high as well. And when you look at the longer term chart, and you'll find that in the chart library, you'll see that it's very much towards the bottom of the range and has been in this quite broad pattern for the last 2 or 3 years. So certainly wanted to keep an eye on, particularly with the valuations on Thailand, where the PE is currently around. I'm just waiting for the number to pop up on Bloomberg. It's 9.33 and the yield is 4.2, so that's really quite cheap by any measure. Now, staying with the UK, because there were really quite significant moves there today. The gilts were down. The low was at 108.68, so that's they're not that far off the lows right now, down 0.65 of 1%, or sorry, of 1 point, excuse me. So that's putting a little bit of pressure on the lows in here as well, and a break below those lows, a sustained break below those lows would reassert the downtrend. Treasuries are flat on the day, 10 years, sorry, 10 years are flat on the day, and the 30 years are up 4, so they're holding that move above 108, and not really moving very much, it has to be said. The next big move really was with the pound, and that appreciated versus just about everything when we saw this rate rise, because it's the first rate rise in 2 years and had taken the market by surprise, as I said before. So against the euro, it's up a full cent. It's at 188.76, and excuse me, against the pound, against the euro, it's down marginally. Against the yen, it's up 2 yen. It's at 217.23, and you'll see that chart I posted in there today of the pound versus the Swiss franc, because it's been ranging in that quite tight range between 225 and 230 for nearly I think 15 months, and now it's broken up from that. So it's going to be interesting to see whether it can capitalize on that move. I don't think that the Treasury or the Bank of England particularly wants a very strong currency, so the capacity for this to trend versus the reserve currencies, I think, is quite low, but we might see a move of duration of a couple of weeks at least. Now, looking at some of the commodities, well, silver is down 14 points in here today, so 112.10. It's been as low as just sorry, 112. It's 12.10, excuse me, 12.11, and it was as low as $12 in here today, so relatively steady following that good move yesterday. Copper is down $10 in here at 349. Gold is down $6 on the spot. It's at 645. And nickel is down 1,200 points, or $1,200 at 24,400. So there was a point during the day there where almost everything on my screen was in red, and it has been quite a significant day. The metal markets taking a little bit of fright from these interest rate hikes, because that would slow down economies, which would lessen demand for base metals, or for indeed precious metals. That's the reasoning. Oil was down a lot in at one point. It was as low as 74.65. It's currently at 75.10 now, down 71 points. And natural gas gave up quite a lot. It's at 7.38 right now. It's down 429 points. It had been as high as 7.88, so it's come off a little bit in here. And the reason for that is because Tropical Storm Chris was never upgraded to a hurricane, and it appears to be petering out. So that's taking the threat of damage to terminals in the Gulf of Mexico away. Of course, we're still 2 or 3 months away from the end of the hurricane season, so there's plenty of time yet for something like this to occur. I don't want to be a harbinger of doom, but that is one of the things that will certainly move the natural gas price. So, the other thing, of course, was that you had this inventory data come out today, and inventories went up last week by, I think, 20 billion cubic feet, which was, I suppose, for the time of year, not particularly unexpected. But because of all this incredibly hot weather we've had, or that we've seen in the US, I think traders are expecting it to be a bit lower. And rumors from that of that happening, or of it coming out a bit stronger than expected, were circulating yesterday, which fed through into the natural gas price today. Now, I took out a long position in the Robusta coffee, because it opened up strong this morning, came off a bit, then went up a bit, and then it closed almost exactly unchanged on the day. Excuse me. But it does look like it's broken up from a significant area of resistance, and I'm happy to back the breakout. If it turns out to be a failed breakout, I won't be long closing out the position. But at the moment, it's got a backwardation, and it hasn't had a backwardation like this for quite a while. And I've put that backwardation chart into the chart library, so you can find it there. But backwardations are very positive. And you had a very good move in Arabica yesterday, which I hadn't spotted, Arabica coffee. And that capitalized very well on that earlier on in the session, but closed almost unchanged on the day. So there's a very big tail on the Arabica coffee, which isn't particularly bullish in the very short term. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that tomorrow. But other than that, it's certainly interesting markets. And if you've got any questions, don't hesitate to contact me. I think I've got a couple of emails of the day for tomorrow, which I will handle in tomorrow's comment of the day. But thank you very much for your time.